We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses. There's so much information out there tailored towards service providers, so we've carved out a space just for you, the creative entrepreneur making and selling physical goods. We're firm believers that everyone has a story to share, and there is much that we can learn from each other's business journey. Whether you are just starting out or a seasoned business owner, this podcast will shed light on new strategies, inspiration, and action steps to help you grow your product-based business. Hey friends, welcome to Proof to Product. I'm Katie Hunt, your host, and today's interview is with Audrey Woolen, the founder and creative director of Urbanic, a lifestyle brand and retail boutique located in Venice, California. Urbanic is going on its 13th year in business and has attracted a great deal of press, a large social media following, and has developed collaborative signature lines with some of the nation's top designers. On today's episode, Audrey shares how Urbanic has evolved over the years, how a business that started as a hobby has turned into a thriving retail shop. Audrey talks about challenges she's faced, including an IRS audit in her third year and the store getting robbed at times. She also talks about her passion for her industry, the creative community which she's in, and why creating a strong customer experience is so important to her and the brand. Hey, Audrey, welcome to Proof Your Product.
Hi, so good to be here.
Glad to have you. So Urbanic turned 13 this year, is that correct?
In August, yeah, we're turning 13.
Wow,
yeah.
That's insane. Congratulations to you.
Thank you, yeah.
What was the inspiration or motivation behind wanting to open up Urbanic?
Yeah, Urbanic was sort of an actual aha moment that I had. I was working, I was working in New York in the clothing industry before I moved out to LA and continued to do the same thing. And while I loved like the like kind of fast-paced energy and design of that industry, I always kind of knew inside that there was something more that I wanted to do, and I just didn't know exactly what it was. Mm-hmm. But have always, ever since like being a little girl, had a huge like passion for you know paper products, whether it be sending people cards or. You know, I always loved picking out my back to school supplies. Like I took that very seriously.
Me too.
You know, gives it pens, you know, back then it was like good smelling pens and all of that. Like just, I always couldn't, like that was just my favorite. It's like a passion of mine. Mm-hmm. And I would spend, even when I was little, I would like spend my allowance on like going and buying like cards and stuff for people. I just like entirely, that was just always part of me. And so after, yeah, like moving out here, working in LA and in fashion, I just kind of needed to do some creative outlets on the side. Mm-hmm. So I started kind of designing wedding invitations for friends and printing them and just being like super creative. And they would sort of refer other friends. And then I got into making like a stationery line that I would sell at festivals, one of which was the Abercrombie Festival. And doing that completely on the side of my real job. And then, you know, I got to this place where I just didn't want to do all the traveling anymore and wanted to sort of like be more grounded here in LA. And Abercrombie is the, you know, the kind of main street in Venice, which back then it was not like even close to what it is today. It was sort of on the uprise. Mm-hmm. It was up and coming, I suppose, but not really. And sort of had thought I'd always loved to, I had the aha moment where I was like, I want to open a paper boutique. And it was like this, like I remember having the moment, like literally stopping in my tracks and like tears came to my eyes. I'm like, this is what I want to do. I would feel so happy to create an environment, a creative environment for people to come shop and, you know, to be able to curate that in a way that would be bringing in things from like the best designers across the country and, you know, even internationally. And so I opened a space not on Abercrombie. It was like a booth and like a almost like a bazaar type place. It was on Main Street, Santa Monica. And the way that worked was you could have like a little 10x10 space within like a bigger store. So it was broken up into a whole bunch of tiny little stores, but you didn't have to work it. Like there was somebody that would like bring stuff up and you would just sort of come in and get your tools at the end of each week.
Interesting. So kind of like consignment in a way, it sounds like.
Sort of, yeah. It was just, you know, you lose like the customer experience and mm-hmm. it's, you know, the Urbanic section of that store was like the most decked out. I had an old desk and like some walls of, you know, the other ones were just like racks of clothing. It was definitely right. a very inexpensive way to start. And meanwhile, aside from that, I had rented out a garage, somebody's like garage, like right off of Abbot Kinney, where I was actually designing and making cards and stationery while having my, you know, my other work in the clothing industry. And that place didn't even have a bathroom. So I would always have to go to like the local coffee shop back and forth, like making things, go over there. And it was all really a hobby at that point. It was just something I loved and it wasn't generating much income at all. Mm-hmm. But it was pushing me closer to wanting to do more of it. And I was getting more and more involved in the industry and seeing what was out there and falling more in love with what I was finding and wanting to have a create a bigger experience. And so what I found out was that that little tiny spot that I was renting, it ended up that because it was on Main Street, Santa Monica, we were able to do, like I was able to set up at the Santa Monica Farmers Market each Sunday and have like a booth there.
Oh, nice.
And that is like a very big deal. Like that Santa Monica Farmers Market is, I mean, it's everything. There's like ponies and like all the fresh produce and like they do, it's Santa Monica, right? They pull out all the stops for that. Right. So it's very well attended. So I would set up a booth each Sunday morning and do more in that day than I did like an entire week in my little spot.
Wow.
And also I got to be there and talk to the customers and they were loving it. And so it was that experience that I really started building each week, establishing a customer base, a local customer base that then knew the name of my company, were familiar with my designs and all the other designs I was bringing in. So when it came time to quit my job, to leave freelancing in the fashion industry, it was like the scariest thing I'd ever done in my entire life. Like I didn't really know what I was doing other than those small steps I had taken.
Right.
So it was completely a huge risk, but the spot opened up. It's the spot that we're still in today. Something fell through, it wasn't available and something fell through with the lease that was going to go in there. And I just sort of got there at the right place and time and just sort of went for it.
So can I pause you for a minute?
Yeah.
Most of us, when we're in a corporate job or a freelance job and we're trying to build our business on the side, there's no perfect time to go all in the business, right? Like there has to be, there's usually something that pushes us over to this. Like we want to do it, but for security reasons, stability reasons, whatever it might be, it's hard to make that shift. Was it the spot opening that kind of pushed you into Urbanic full-time then?
It wasn't. It was, I mean, that I think everything sort of lined up at the right time. What mm-hmm. I had been freelancing with a lot of different clothing designers for many, many years between New York and LA. And it was like that year, just before that, I had taken on with one line, a corporate line. And it was probably like the best paycheck I ever got, but it was the worst year of my life. Like I knew I was completely unhappy. I knew mm-hmm. I wasn't doing what I wanted. And I knew that if I was going to continue just doing that for a paycheck, then I was going to lose out an opportunity to do something that I really wanted. And I had to get to that place where I said, I would rather die one day knowing I tried it, even if it doesn't work out, than feeling like I never did, like really just jump in there and do it. And so I think it was like getting to that place where I knew I wasn't doing what I wanted anymore. And I knew I had this other idea that I completely and 100% believed in. And it was just time to make that exit, even just for like my mental health and happiness. I just was... Right. There was more, and having built the hobby on the side and sort of get my feet wet in it and like know that there was a customer base there was what fueled me to take the leap onto the Abbot Kinney location.
Gotcha. That's really cool. Yeah. I talk to a lot of people who are kind of straddling that day job, if you will, with the business that's a hobby, but they want to turn it into their full-time thing. And it's very fascinating to see all the different reasons that push people to make the jump, whether it's lifestyle, whether it's financial, whether it's, I just can't do this anymore. I'm stretched too thin and, you know, whatever it might be. So thank you for sharing that with us. So for those of our listeners that are unfamiliar with your shop, talk about the types of products that you carry and what types of customers shop in your store.
Yeah. So Urbanic is, well, we specialize for sure in stationery and greeting cards. We have a lot of letterpress goods, but we also do desk, you know, party. So we'll have, you know, the walls of the cards, but then gifts. like carefully chosen gifts. There's a continuous design aesthetic in the store. So it's unlike what a regular card and gift shop might look like, where there's sort of a little bit of everything. It's very specific. The focus is specific. But we also sell, I mean, we do different things as well. I mean, right now it's Valentine's Day, right? So we have like a florist coming in. We're offering like blooms for the week. Fun. Things like that, that we sort of bring in and out to keep everything exciting. But we also do sell, you know, specialty sweets and cookbooks and lots of beautiful journals and pens and wrapping papers and ribbon. It's definitely a place where you go in and you can get lost for a while with all the different design. We don't have a huge space, but it's packed. We pack it in there.
It's very well merchandised for all the different types of things you have. It's very beautiful. And how has it evolved over the years? Has your product mix shifted or have you added new services? Because you also work with, you know, brides, right? To do custom wedding invitations and things still?
We do. Yes, we do. We do offer custom services. That is a very, very specific and special part of the business because it's emotional, especially for these couples that, you know, it's like the biggest day of their life. So that's like in all honesty, that's sort of a tough one to manage top level. I have different staff that work in that place. We do it all by appointment and it's like a wonderful experience and certainly a higher ticket item. But that specific area of the business needs the utmost care and attention. And it's very different than, you know, merchandising a brand new like shipment of gorgeous stationery that just came in and gifts because it's so much more hands-on. So in that way, I mean, we have sort of offered that from the very beginning, but I think I didn't answer to you asked me what types of people shop there and then also how has the business evolved. I think the business has evolved over the years because I've started to develop the Urbanic brand. So we do offer our own selection of wrapping papers and candles, and we also do collaborations with different designers that come under the umbrella name of Urbanic. We'll collaborate on design together and manufacture it and put it on our floor for a limited time. And so that's been really exciting to kind of just keep pumping new fresh energy into the business.
Oh yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, as far as the people that shop with us, it's, you know, I feel so fortunate to have had this idea exactly where we are because we're in a very creative community. There's, you know, architects, graphic designers, there's, you know, the aesthetic of Urbanic is well appreciated. It's a very design centric community. We also have a lot of celebrities, which makes it really interesting and fun. We enjoy that very much because you never know, right? Who's right. going to come in there. But we have a customer base of people that are faithful to us and have made it a destination, even in greater LA, not just on the West Side, because they understand what we're offering. Whereas sometimes I think there are definitely places in the world that wouldn't at all. Mm-hmm. And to live in this environment and in this neighborhood, like in LA, global city, where that can be appreciated and, you know, the goods are, they're better, they're finer goods, is a great feeling because I know that when I'm buying, I'm not trying to fit my patterns into any kind of mold. I'm just naturally gravitating towards what I love and what I see like a good fit for the brand.
Awesome. You talked about customer experience earlier in the interview and then also again with the, you know, the custom invitation services that you have. What do you do to love on your customers and really create a great customer experience for them?
Yeah, it's so important, that customer experience. That's what makes it a shopping experience rather than just going to pick something up that you have to. Well, for one thing, I guess at a baseline level, everything in the store from like the candle we burn to the music that we're playing to how we package things up in our store bags, all of that is very considered. So we make sure that those things alone are on brand and in experience as far as the aesthetics and the visuals and your takeaways from when you come into Urbanic, when you leave. Even my staff they're amazing. And that's the friendliness and the cheerfulness is all part of who we are and what the sentiment is of the company. But in addition to that, we do a lot of things. Like, well, we have Dennis is dog town. So everyone's got a dog almost, except for maybe me, I guess, but everyone's got a dog. And so all the dogs come in the shop all of the time. Like, we are totally a dog friendly shop. And so we always have a little jar of dog treats that we give to the dogs. A lot of the dogs know us and they'll come right in for the treat. So we'll do something like that. If we see a mom that's struggling to shop, but her children aren't cooperating, we'll spend time with the kids and give them stickers and maybe a little coloring pad, things like that to kind of mm-hmm. make the experience better.
That's awesome.
We also create different photo ops. We have a photo op out front, but we have a lot of tourism on the block. So we sort of did like a stenciling on the ground that doesn't say like Urbanic or anything like that, but it says post this, and it's got an envelope and the zip code of Venice around it. It almost looks like a postage seal, but on the sidewalk. So there's always tourists standing there taking photos of that, you know, whether it plugs back to us or not. It's just, we're creating content and beauty all around. Yeah. So I would say for sure things like that. We also do events. We always, we've done a lot of events over the years, and that, you know, back in the day, especially when there was so much blogging happening, was creating an experience and an environment for a lot of people that were just coming to know each other through the digital world of Twitter and blogging and any other form of social media, but creating events that would bring this sort of design community together under one roof and out back.
Yeah.
So that along with workshops and just different interactive experiences that we come up with throughout the year.
I love that. Thank you for sharing all those details with us. It's fun mm-hmm. to hear how you are catering to all the different types of audiences and customers that you're working with, whether it's other creatives or, you know, people on the street, locals, whatever it is. So, you know, what has been one of the most challenging parts of running a brick and mortar business? It's a lot different than running an online business like I do. So, you know, what are some things you've faced that have been tough?
There's definitely a lot. Like, I honestly can't even scale them of like which is the hardest, but I mean, for one, you know, whereas with a regular day job, you sort of know at 5 o'clock or whatever time you get done that you're done. You can sort of put your work aside. When you own a retail business and especially live as close to it as I do, and I'm a small business, so I always sort of battle feeling on. It's hard to ever actually feel off because you never know. You know, things happen. Sometimes bad things happen. Sometimes good things happen. But either way, you're sort of always tethered to it at all times. So mm-hmm. That is definitely a challenge. I'd say staffing is a great and wonderful thing, but it's also hard to find like the best people that you want to be like the face of your business each day with like amazing work ethics. Like, we've been lucky. We've had so many great people, but we wait and hold out long periods of time to find them. Mm-hmm. And it's such a vital part of like who we are is those people that, you know, work with us and make us who we are. So that's challenging. Of course, you really never know what's happening with the economy and how it is going to fluctuate. Like, you can't, like, what all your numbers that you did last year are not going to be all your numbers this year. They could be way better, way worse, but you're very dependent on a brick and mortar situation. And so with that, I think I've been learning and sort of, you know, developing new plans to have more channels of the business so that we're not so reliant on just what happens at that Abercrombie location.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some of the things. I mean, there's also variables like, you know, you can, like, challenging variables. You can get robbed. You can, I mean, we catch people stealing from us, and it's awful. And we've been robbed several times where people literally broke into the store and took things, and, you know,
oh, no.
But that's never a feel good moment.
No, it's not. But it is reality, right? I mean, unfortunately, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's ups and downs of running these businesses, and that's a tough one. I'm sorry to hear that. You mentioned in we have a scheduling link with some questions for our listeners, and you mentioned that you've also been through an IRS audit. What was that like?
It was exactly what you would imagine it would be like. It is the horror that you feel when you hear those words. So it was a very random thing. I mean, we had everything goes through a point of sale system and is mm-hmm. lined up with like paid bookkeepers. There was nothing that was ever found that was off. But however, in that year, the IRS was conducting a bunch of random audits to small business owners. I have no idea what the initiative of this was. And somehow Urbanic was selected. And it was, I think, my third year in business. Or
oh my
fourth.
Gosh.
But I definitely was not at the place that I am now with knowing and understanding what that means and what it looks like and what's required. And it literally took, it was like a whole other job to do to get every receipt, every invoice, every single transaction for like those 3 years up till that time. Mm-hmm. Even though they were only auditing for 1 year, they needed like all kinds of information.
Wow.
And you know, when you first start a business, you're kind of unorganized, or at least I was, because I really, I didn't know what I was doing. I had to figure it out as I went.
Yeah.
And
you're
I was
alone.
Having-
You're like, not alone in that, by the way.
Not to mention, I was like, you know, I had a baby. Like I was having a baby. I had a baby year one. So that was like, you know, juggling motherhood and business.
Yeah.
I was being pulled in all different directions. And so it was, it was when that was finished, it took almost a year, year and a half for that audit to be finished. When it was done, it was one of the best days of my life. I can tell you that.
Yeah. I'm breathing a sigh of relief on your behalf right now thinking about it. I mean, what did you learn as a business owner through that? You mentioned like maybe being more organized or whatever it is, but that's a very challenging thing to go through.
What I definitely learned is because I sort of hired a bookkeeper during that time from startup.
Yeah.
That was like really affordable. And so with that, she didn't come with like a whole lot of experience. And so I cut corners there. And although we weren't, you know, charged for anything, what the IRS did find was that there was a ton of gross bookkeeping errors.
Oh, no.
It cost me a lot more time and energy to have to go back in and amend. And so ever since that point, there's no way. I mean, if there's assets of your business or like parts of your business that you need handled or taken care of that are beyond your skill level or something that should not be commanding all your attention, I learned you absolutely have to pay people that are really good at it and are going to do a good job for you and not cut corners in those ways.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm over here shaking my head. Yes, I agree with you wholeheartedly on that. Oh, man. Well, I'm glad you made it through okay on that. I'm sure it was a huge undertaking, especially with a small child in tow. But, you know, so we've talked about some of the challenges and hardships, but what is one of the most rewarding parts of running your own business and having, you know, Urbanic?
I mean, there's definitely more of that than the hardships. I can happily tell you that. There's so much to it. I mean, there are days that even if it's a hard day, I fall asleep maybe a bit overworked, but feeling like, I love my job. Like I love what I do. I'm surrounded by things that I am passionate about. It's beautiful. And watching the customers enjoy that experience as well is everything. Mm-hmm. Not to mention the fact that the industry that I'm in and this avenue that I picked is there's so much sentiment behind it. So it's meaningful for me on so many different levels. Not just like the relationships I've built with customers and, you know, the friendships I've made, but to have someone come in and really trying to pick out something to like truly bless someone else, you know, from funny little things like a roommate coming in, they shrunk their roommate's sweater in a wash. They're picking out like an I'm sorry card, or a guy that like really wants to bless his wife. And he's asking us to help us put together like a box of beautiful things for her and make it amazing. There's always something that just is a feel good moment, not to mention babies and birthdays and celebrations and weddings. And it's like all of the best stuff in life. So yeah. To be in that industry and have a brick and mortar based on that and have it be my own company, which I've built from the ground up and poured literally my heart and soul into, to be able to do this every day is so gratifying. It's such a warm, warm feeling inside my heart that, I would have never gone back. And even in the hardest times of being a small business owner, I could never have gone back and chose a different path.
Yeah, absolutely. You're making a big impact. And I love to hear the passion in your voice as you talk about this. It's really heartfelt. How do you stay connected to what's happening in the industry? For example, you know, seeking out new brands to work with or products that you want to bring into your shop.
Well, I definitely attend trade shows. So I'll do the New York shows, some work in LA, There's some reps here. I do the London Top Drawer Show. Mm-hmm. So I do go to those different places and always scout what's new out there. But also I love working with independents and independent designers that haven't gotten to those places yet. So we get a lot of submissions on a regular basis, and I look through all of those and I'm grateful. We get a lot of great mail. So amazing and ridiculous how good the mail is. It's overwhelming at times, but we get a lot of really great submissions. But also, you know, design isn't just about being in the gift and stationery market. It's all around. I mean, it could be in architecture, it could be in fashion, it could be in lifestyle, home, you know, furniture, all that. You see design changing all the time and ever evolving.
Yep.
So I love surrounding myself with all of that in my favorite cities and just keeping my eyes open and sort of absorbing all the new, I don't want to say trends because we're not a trend-based store, but it does feel like the right word when new things pop up that you haven't seen before and you're sort of wowed by something, or new takes on color stories, you know, new angles of design, just being in touch and in tune with all of those things and sort of letting them sort of marinate and then sort of coming about in my own sort of direction as far as how I'm going to curate for the next season.
Mm-hmm. That's really good advice for a lot of the people listening that are making physical products, right? That, like, how are they setting themselves apart and considering the larger design industry and I guess looking outside of just their little bubble when they're creating new products and getting inspired by things outside of that.
Yes.
Which, yes. I guess too, I'd like to hear from you, because I always like to ask any of the retailers we talk to, when you are going through all those submissions that you receive, what are you looking for? What gets you excited? Or, and also I'd like to talk about the reverse of what brings you down a little bit when you see things.
Yeah. But I mean, I love looking through submissions. I love finding something new that I haven't seen before. It's hard because a lot of it does start to look like itself.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, there's a lot of overlap in certain looks and vibes and feels. And that's tricky, because even if I love a line, but it's crossing over in sort of an exact category that I already have from different designers, I don't really need to have two or three of that in the shop. So new takes on just design in general. That's why I love going outside the country and finding new products too, because you find things that you've literally never seen before and are very hard to find in the US. And mm-hmm. So that's always good. But I'm looking for like a fresh voice. I'm looking for new concepts, fresh color stories. You know, it also depends on time of year. I move things in and out through different times of the year. Many things I'll keep consistent and just can keep ordering into those lines and mm-hmm. sort of were. They're part of who we are, but I love bringing in fresh new things and pulling them in and out as I see fit for, you know, a line that's got rich, warm, like jewel tone colors and the texture. I love having those in the winter and the fall months.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll go heavier there because we want the whole store to feel and embrace that. Whereas some lines that are like brighter colors or lighter fonts and, you know, more poppy, I love those for the warmer months. Again, just to sort of, so all of the product sort of feels cohesive at the same time.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You're doing turns with your merchandising and keeping all of it cohesive. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So, you know, what's next for you in Urbanic? What do you have coming up this year? What are you working on?
So currently right now, we've had an online site up for, you know, all these years, but we really haven't done anything with it. Much of anything at all, because number one, just space. It's really tricky to be able to, having an online store is like a whole other business all to itself.
Yes, and it is.
The space, it's like you have to be able to pack that, ship it, you know, have people working that, separate inventory. So that's something we've sort of dabbled into and then dabbled out of a bit because we weren't ready. But we are now concentrating on that and focusing on that as, you know, as a part of the business. And so in spring, we'll launch a brand new web store.
How exciting. Congrats. So
that's happening. We do have more in the works as far as product line, which we'll develop, which I'll be able to talk about a little bit more once I can.
Of course.
And then as far as other locations, we do have another smaller spot that's also set to pop up this spring.
Fun.
So those are the things that we're currently working on.
Those are three pretty big things too. So congrats to you on that. I can't wait to see how it all unfolds.
Thank you.
Of course. Well, where can people find you online if they want to check you out on social media or look at your new online shop when it's ready?
Yes, thank you. So it's urbanicpaper.com is the website. Social media handles, Instagram at urbanic. And our newsletter list is right on the bottom right-hand corner of the website where we keep people up to date with our latest, all the latest happenings from around the shop, and as well as new product and events.
Awesome. Well, Audrey, thank you so much for your time today. It was really great to hear your backstory and how, you know, you've been an entrepreneur for so long. It's helpful to hear both the ups and the downs of all you've been through. So thank you for sharing with us today. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Katie.
Thanks so much for spending time with us today. Head on over to proofyourproduct.com to join the conversation, access our show notes, and discover free resources to help you build your product-based business. We'll be back next week with a new episode. Thanks again.